On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
I just had a protein bar during the break, and then I drank the water.
Yeah.
Bottled water from yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't taste right. Does that happen with bottled? Like, I refilled it from one of these stations, whether it's here at SNY.
Oh, you filled it. Well,
water's water, no?
Well, you would think so. I thought you meant that you had a bottle of water, you drank half of it yesterday, like it was already pre-bottled, right? And then you just kind of finished it up today.
No, that's.
Because I do that all the time.
So the refilled water. Sometimes I just left it in my bag, and I didn't give it any thought. Usually I'll refresh and take one per day and then just refill it for the day. But I refilled it, left it in the bag, and now I taste it, and it just tastes a little weird. Is that normal?
Maybe it's because you have the remnants of the protein bar still in your mouth. Are you sure it's the water?
No, I've had this happen before.
Huh. Yeah, sometimes
it even smells a little weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Somebody trying to poison you here?
But it happens with only the refiltered water, like refiltered water at home, not an issue.
Okay.
The refiltered water through the system here or at SNY sometimes, I don't know what happens.
I devour water. Yeah. I probably have 5 or 6 bottles a day. Drink a lot of water.
And that's why you always got to, you know, go to the bathroom.
All right,
BT's Al on the fan. So just to rehash the two topics, Mets free agency, and look, Brian Cashman is going to speak later on today. Scott Boras later on today in Vegas at the GM meetings. David Stern spoke yesterday, so we're talking about the Mets offseason, big picture, and Alonso's been a main theme. And then the report today from NJ.com that Paul Skeens reportedly told his teammates, or a teammate, that he wants to play for the Yankees. Now, if he is available, and if I hear that and I'm Brian Cashman, I'm sure he'll address it today, or at least he'll be asked about it today.
Yep.
He probably can't talk about other teams' players, but I would think that when you hear that, you do whatever you can to call up there and say, hey, look, if you want to talk, we're ready to go. Then it's just a matter. Well, I mean, they should.
For
they
sure.
should be you, doing it.
Hey, what's his term? Due diligence. He's been saying that forever. I mean, this is exhibit A of due diligence. Somebody throws that out there about Skeens. I'm calling the Pirates. I've already called them, or I've already reached out at this point.
They might have. Yeah, exactly. They might have already done that preemptively. All right, we'll get back to the calls in a second. Back to the Alonso thing with our last caller, EJ, I think was his name. Here's what I would be concerned about. As opposed to, well, Pete's a homegrown Met. Well, he has the record. Well, he's one of the best that we've ever had. I don't care about that because that speaks to the ineptitude of the franchise since its inception. I'm trying to change that and build a winning team. Now, I happen to believe that the best way to do that is offering Pete Alonso a big contract now, getting out in front of it. And to his other point about Pete wants to be here, okay. Everybody says Pete wants to be here, right?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that myself.
Well, me neither, as we've been saying for years. I then, by my approach, if Steve Cohen and David Stearns listened to me and got out in front of this instead of playing the waiting game and we want him back, but the market this, the market that, if you're aggressive enough from the get-go, he said he wanted 7 years, I'd say, okay, we'll give you 6 years, $180 million. And guess what? If they counter with saying $200 million, maybe I'm in a good mood. And I'll go six, because what's the difference with $20 million at that point? Now, you have to draw the line somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So for six, and I'll go over the top, 6 years, $200 million. If you think you're going to beat that, go beat it. Then it would be on Pete to see how much he does want to be a Met. Because I don't think six for $200 is a bad offer. And the way that he beats that would be some ridiculous offer that you wouldn't be going to that extent anyway.
Which he's not getting.
So
he's just not getting that offer.
The way,
that agreed. Crazy offer.
So the way I would do it, instead of the Mets playing the market, I would say we want you back and call his bluff and give him your best offer now.
Yeah.
And, okay, you risk losing him, but you take a calculated risk and you try to get out in front of it. Make him your best offer now and make him make the choice and see how much he really wants to be here.
It's an interesting chapter from the playbook here that you don't really see too often because you're calling his bluff is really what you're doing. So, again, we don't necessarily, not that he wants to leave the Mets, but we're not as wrapped up in Pete, you know, would be distraught if he went somewhere else. I think Pete just wants fair market value. I think Pete wants to get respected. I think Pete wants to rectify, in his mind, what went awry during free agency for him.
Which
a year
he should.
Ago.
He should want all those things.
100%. And by the way, the way he bounced back this season gives him full justification to pursue a better deal with great vigor. And really, if you want to say even without compromise, this time around, because he's coming off a really good year rather than a down one. Now, here's the thing, and people mess this up all the time, and I don't understand why. Oh, Boris, big, badass Boris. All right, fantastic. Do people not understand the way the talent or the player-agent dynamic works? I pay you to do what I tell you to do. Now, your main job is to get me the best offer, clearly. But when I tell you it's time to move on, or it's time to agree, or it's not about setting the market or doing right by the other players around baseball, it is Pete who's got to be holding the steering wheel here, and not Boris. And if Boris is dragging this thing in, you know, past Thanksgiving, which I think it certainly will get past that point, which is okay. But now you're starting to get to the middle of December and approaching Christmas or into February like a year ago, that's Pete's fault, and that's Pete's problem. And then I would say, you know what? If the Mets say, Pete, we're done with you, they would be fully justified in doing that.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Mets offseason, Paul Skeens, they're the topics right now. Nick is in Eastchester. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Nick.
How are you?
So I called in because I want to ask, you know, Sal, you're on the SMY panel like every night.
Yeah.
Something I've noticed, especially in recent years, especially with the Juan Soto sweepstakes and everything, these national reporters have a tendency to, you know, race to get the headline, and there are all these conflicting reports during the baseball offseason. You could be a guy that just is kind of like, all right, I'm not going to like read into the Twitter rumors or whatever and just sit back and wait for the news from Passan to come. Everyone can do that, right? But if you're like me, a fan like me, like I'm looking at all the SMY tweets, I'm looking at what John Heyman is saying and things like that. So like, when Bob Nightingale comes out and he's like, oh, well, Pete Alonso is only going to come back to the Mets if he gets a team-friendly deal, right? An article said that the other day. Mm-hmm. And then Andy Martino came out and was like, well, that's not necessarily true. The Mets would love him back, but really primarily more of a DH role, which I agree with. But, you know, you sitting on the SMY panel, yeah, like, how do you see these national reporters and these conflicting reports during the baseball offseason like being a problem?
I think it's a great question, and I have a unique perspective, and thank you for the call, Nick. But I think you as a fan or consumer have to figure out on your own who you would trust. Before I give you my insight, I'm just going to say that on your own, right? But you may follow somebody, BT, that you've been following for a while, and this guy usually gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's going to be 100% right, but you trust some sources. By the way, sometimes sources leak things that aren't accurate.
There's always internal motivation.
What I would say is I work with a lot of very good reporters, and then I also talk to a lot of those reporters off the air. So I know how the sausage is made in a lot of these cases. And I can determine who I would trust. Like, put it this way. If you're putting Andy Martino against Bob Nightingale, especially as it pertains to the Mets or Yankees, that's a mismatch of epic proportions.
Nightingale does nothing for me.
It's me neither.
Nothing.
Now, he's been wrong all over the place. Morosi is another one who, I guess he's on MLB. So some people may like him. And yep. I'm not saying he gets everything wrong, but yep, he's gotten big things wrong.
Get Ohtani wrong with the plane, Toronto.
Andy, I know for a fact, just using him as a specific example, who I happen to work with all the time and have for a long time, he doesn't care about being first. He wants to be right. And he's got reputable sources. And if you go back and look at his reports, he never gets anything wrong. John Heyman, who I love and respect him and trust him as a national reporter, even he at times jumps the gun. Like, it happens to the best of them. I would trust Heyman. I would trust Sherman. Mm-hmm. Don't necessarily love Sherman, but whatever. I trust him as a reporter.
I trust him.
Martino, I trust. Will Salmon, Laura Albanese. All these people are plugged in to the inner workings, some more than others, to the inner workings of these franchises. So you as the consumer, need to follow whoever you think you want to follow for Mets and Yankees stuff. And by the way, there are plenty of others that I'm leaving out. I'm just off the top of my head going over some of the names.
Yeah.
Not to leave out anybody specifically, but you need to follow along and see then if those reports end up matching what actually happens.
Look at it this way. So yesterday during our show, Ian O'Connor put out a tweet, right?
Yeah.
Now that's the kind of person that you've got, at least I do, and I know you do as well, full belief that there is no misrepresentation. There is nothing that's sensationalized
Bingo.
About that. He's not trying to get clicks or tweets. He is providing information because he knows something that nobody else did at that point.
He is as respectable yep. as a writer yep. and reporter as there is, built off of the equity that he's built up for however many years. So when I see him say so, when we see him say something, okay, this is legit.
Pretty much take it as gospel. I also think a lot of these people now, and it's sad, The clickbait world. Come on, guys. We know where we live. I mean, when you are paid X amount of money to provide content of the, I'm not talking about what we do. I'm talking about of the written sense here or the information sense, right? You have to pump stuff out. Otherwise, you're going to get lapped here. And when there's a need to pump out so much, quote unquote, information or inside knowledge, you're going to trip over yourselves a lot. Think about the summer of LeBron. Like, that's really where it started. Yeah. If you ask me, what was the origin of the irresponsible, you know, gluttonous involvement with social media?
It's going back a long time.
It's going back a long way.
Twitter was still kind of in its infancy.
Correct. I mean, not everybody was really on social media at that point. It wasn't very big. I was on it, but I didn't really do it much. But that, to me, is where it started. Now, obviously, the newspapers in the 70s, like you go back to the Tom Seaver trade and some other things, of course, very influential. I think you've got to trust certain people, like you say. I happen to love the show. I've told you that. Like, even if we didn't work together, I like the show.
It's a good show. Even if I were not on it.
Well, it would be better if you weren't on it.
Yeah, maybe it would be.
We get TV sound, we get radio sound.
Doug Williams
was totally different people.
He left. But even if I were not a part of it, I still believe.
It's a good cast.
And not only that, the producers do an excellent job. And I'm telling you, now, I don't know how many people watch. Like, I know the ratings are fine. They're good, whatever.
Sure.
So we'll go with that. I'm just saying, in general, that is as good a baseball show and as informative a baseball show as there is. Certainly
like
in
it.
This town.
I've said that for a while. I even like Sports Night. We talked about this off the air the other day. I really think SNY, when you think about the imprint here, on the local sports scene, when we were growing up, it was MSG. You'd get MSG Sports Desk, right? Now, of course, you watch the Knicks and the Rangers and some college hoops, whatever. But if you want to kind of get, whether it's a debate, an intelligent debate, or a representation of all the teams, you got to watch Sports Night. I don't watch Sports Center any night. And I watch Sports Night, and if I fall asleep, I'll bang it in the morning. What are you getting out of Sports Center?
Yeah.
Honestly.
I don't get much out of it.
I don't watch Sports Center at all.
It's changed the way that we used to consume
things.
Anyway, point is, especially in today's world, like you said, it's not just the baseball stuff. Everybody's trying to get clicks. Now, this Randy Miller, I don't know him, but I don't believe that that's being sensationalized.
No.
I think you do the math. He's gotten quotes from a Pirates teammate of Paul Skeens.
And we've referenced him before.
Yes.
He's not one who just, you know, goes over the top and tries to beat you to it. He's reputable.
Now you also know he knows it could be a nothing report that is going to get, because it's Paul Skeens and the Yankees, it's going to blow up, which is what everybody wants. Clicks and talking about it, and we're mentioning it. That's what happens. But it is a legitimate, at least I take it as a legitimate report, where you're saying you get a quote from one of his teammates saying he's told me he wants to play for the Yankees. That is at least newsy, as opposed to somebody's opinion throwing something at the wall. Oh, this could happen. I want to have reporters give me information. We don't have the information. Give us the information based on your reporting. Some, I think, just throw stuff at the wall and hope it sticks.
I'll tell you who doesn't. We'll get to this a little bit later. He did some good reporting. He got shredded for it. Our buddy Rich Cimini. He had a good We'll get to that later with Glenn. I can't defend that. I got to get on air a little bit later.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Nick is calling from Norwood. What's up, Nick?
Nick.
Hey, sorry, guys. I actually got to run. I got tied up at work. Sorry. Been on hold for a while. See you guys.
All right, man. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Gary's in Astoria. What's up, Gary?
I don't think that's ever happened before.
I've had worse.
Wow. That's interesting.
It happens. Hey, he was on hold for a while. We're sorry it took so long. But go ahead, Gary.
Hey, listen. Good morning. Hey, a couple of things. It's about David Stearns and Steve Cohen. Who's really calling the shots? I mean, everybody's talking about David Stearns, the boy genius and that. He really screwed up the pitching the last go-around. If they don't get Scooble, number one, and they don't re-sign, or they should re-sign Pete Alonso, I will be very impressed. If they lose Alonso and get Skubal, I think the Mets are still in trouble.
Not if
That's
they get Bregman.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the other moves. What I will say is that in no way, shape, or form, you can make an argument that they could build without Alonso or certain other pieces. No way, shape, or form will it be an acceptable offseason if they don't land two bona fide starting pitchers, in my opinion.
Hey, you know, we're talking about a lot of money here with a lot of these ball plays. Another thing that I was thinking about, like the Dodgers, the way they did the Ohtani contract, the deferred payments. How about thinking about that? Maybe Cashman, because I'm a Yankee fan, do something, get multiple plays, work something out, upfront money, and do a deferred payment plan.
Be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and thank you for the call, Gary.
It would be nice. I'd like to see the Yankees and the Mets really join this modern way of not only being able to bring in, you know, star player after star player, but, I mean, let's not hide the main story here. The Dodgers are making money off the deferrals because they're reinvesting the money. It's brilliant.
Right, but don't you think that it takes certain players to be willing to do that?
Correct, it does. No, you've got to be willing to, you've got to be open to it.
You think Juan Soto wanted deferrals to that one?
No.
Of course not.
No, because Soto doesn't have the global imprint that Ohtani does. I don't know what Ohtani's getting from New Balance, but I'm sure it is a ridiculous amount. You know, and Soto's got endorsements, but not to the, you know, worldwide level. Yeah, it's different. It's different. So Ohtani could do it because he's banging bank no matter what, whereas Soto wants to get paid.
Basically, his whole contract's deferred.
I know.
I mean, who knows what's going to happen in 10, 15 years when they have to pay him, you know, whatever it is, $40 million a year.
Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. I don't know the exact math on it, but they're going to have made a lot of money off of that invest because they're taking the money that, let's say they would have paid him $70 this year.
What if something happened
with the stock market? Yeah, I mean, there's always an unpredictable. And maybe they have more bonds, something safer. I don't know.
The Mets did this. They were ahead of the curve with this, with the Bobby Bonilla freaking contract.
Yeah.
And now it's become a laughing stock. It's horrible. It's not even funny anymore at this point.
No, but it wouldn't have been a laughing stock if Bobby Bonilla was fantastic. The difference is Ohtani's one of a kind. No, Bonilla was,
I think,
okay.
Unfortunately, the Madoff stuff. The Mets thought that they were making money the way that they were. And yeah, if everything on the surface is, well, we're going to pay him whatever it is now, just defer it, basically get him for free. Now, that was pennies compared to what Ohtani's making, but it's also, you know, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that the idea of deferrals aren't new. The idea of a star player deferring that much money, that's obscene.
It is. But again, I think it's such a small pool of people who would be willing and or able to do it. He's one of them. Again, he's got to be making about to take a guess. He's got to be $30, $40 million from New Balance. It's got to be. I see him every day, that New Balance with Cooper. I think it's Cooper Flagg and a WNBA player and him with swinging the bat. It's like, this guy's got everything.
He's Shohei Ohtani. I mean, he's the biggest name, certainly in baseball, and maybe one of the biggest names in sports.
Let me ask you this. Aside from now that Tiger Woods is kind of out of the spotlight, Tiger Woods, LeBron, you know, maybe more so a couple of years ago with LeBron and Ohtani, are those the three biggest brands in sports?
I mean, I don't know. Are we missing, you know, Patrick
Mahomes? A soccer player
or something else
on the international scene?
Messi is.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, but I don't know much about soccer, though. But put soccer aside for a minute.
I don't know anything about soccer. I know Messi and the impact.
Yeah.
Hoff went to see him out at Citi Field. I went to see him out at Sports Illustrated Stadium with the Red Bulls.
Yeah.
He is a massive star and draw.
No, there's no doubt. There's not a golfer right now that's on that level. I don't think Mahomes' reach is even remotely as now. Football trumps baseball in terms of popularity, but I don't think Mahomes. I think Mahomes is looking up miles at Ohtani in terms of global brand.
I mean,
not domestic.
But what's the biggest sport globally? It's got to be football.
It's soccer. Globally, it's soccer. 100% it's soccer. Honestly, maybe baseball with the Asian impact,
or
basketball has grown quite a bit as well in Europe.
BT and Sal on the Fan, more calls when we come back, 888-808-1019.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Quote from Ian O'Connor, who yesterday had the report that the Giants might not, in fact, be sticking with Joe Shane long term, due to Mr. Mara's health. This is what they had to do right now. It's not a given that he's going to be back. So Ian O'Connor today says, as a follow-on Joe Shane, these 7 games mean a lot to everyone in the Giants building. The GM can secure his employment here, but if they go 2-5 or 1-6 and Joe's players don't look any better without Dable than with him, you don't just extend a GM who went 6-11, 3-14, 4-13.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the record is going to sound like a ridiculous statement, but it's of less consequence at this point.
I agree.
You know what I mean? They just got to look better.
I agree with you that my decision would have already been made. I wouldn't be worried about the record. But according to Ian O'Connor, his reporting says that the final 7 games matter to the people in the building. So this is going to definitively, in their minds, define whether, in fact, it was the head coach mm-hmm. who was underperforming with a good roster, or if it's both a combination of bad head coach and bad roster.
But even that's backwards a little bit here. I get what they're trying to do, but I think their evaluation's flawed. Let me ask you a question. Have the Giants been ready to play most of these games from the opening kick?
So.
They've been ready, right?
I don't think it's an effort thing.
Exactly. So when you come out and you don't get your doors blown off in the first quarter like they did when they were really bad during some of those other coaches before Brian Dable got here, it tells me you've had a pretty buttoned-up week of practice. It tells me everybody's kind of emotionally and invested in the game plan and that they're kind of buttoned up in practice, because if you're not, you're not ready to play the first quarter. The Giants have scored, 4 or 5 straight games with an opening I believe it's 4, or they had 4, with an opening drive touchdown. So they were ready to play, and then the defense collapsed, which is what took away all these wins here, which if they had those, they'd be a borderline playoff team. So let me get this straight. The defense, which imploded, the DC is still here. The head coach who had them ready to play is gone. And the general manager who put all these resources on the defensive side might have a chance to come back. It's ass backwards.
One thing, though, that I would say in regards to the effort, you think Dexter Lawrence give a max effort?
He's the one guy that jumps out to me as no.
Deontay Banks? Like, there are certain individuals who on certain plays have not given max effort. So I understand your idea or overall the point about the team. It's not just like the team quit on the head coach. I do not think that that is the case. I myself am curious to see. Now, I believe that it's a combo of bad players and bad coaching. I do not believe the Giants will play better under Mike Kafka. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better, especially if you factor in that Jackson Dart is banged up.
Yeah.
But I am curious to see myself how they look and want the Giants to get the definitive answer on, hey, we told you so. It's not Brian Daboll. It's not all his fault. It's the entire process, which then would make them move on from Joe.
Move on from Joe. But here's the thing, and we all know the schedule. Next three games, treacherous. Obviously, very few wins, if any, in this three-game sequence. The Giants very well might stumble upon a couple of wins to finish up December against the dregs of the NFL. And to me, it will be a false representation of the job that Joe Shane has done. If they win three or four of two out of three, there's going to be a positive energy around the Giants. Joe Shane's probably back, and I don't think he should be.
Think about how faulty that logic is that you're going to have 3+ years of watching somebody in a resume that that person has, Joe Shane has, and you're going to boil it down to 7 games with an interim head coach with a quarterback who's banged up.
Yeah, comes down to the last three or four weeks. I wouldn't even say 7 weeks, because I don't think they'll win any of these next
three.
I think it's really the last three or four games. If they squeeze out a couple of wins, I'm with you on that point. It's got to be much more of a deeper evaluation. If it's surface like, well, they finished strong, I mean, they're clueless at that point.
BT and Sal on the Fan, back to the baseball call. Sam is in Rockland. What's up, Sam?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So, about schemes, would you trade a package of, let's say, Schlitzler?
Go ahead.
Let's say Schlitzler, Jones or Dominguez, and Ben Rice.
You have to.
Or is that too much?
That's not. You have to do it.
It might not be enough, honestly. You might have to throw in Lombard.
No, I'm talking about Lombard. My point is, Schlitzler has shown he has potential to be a good pitcher.
Yes, he does.
Probably in the
very
league.
Good.
Obviously, he's not Skeens. The question is the gap between the pitcher Schlitzler can be and the pitcher Skeens is big enough to give Ben Rice, Francis Jones, maybe even Lombard?
Well, it's a really good question, Sam, and my answer is yes. Let me get that out of the way. Yes. But in a perfect world, I'd have 20 more starts of evaluation for Schlitzler to come up with a better determination.
I don't know if there's anything Schlitzler can do in the next year to get to the level that Skeens is at. He's just not Paul Skeens. I'm sorry. He had, I don't want to just say one dominant start, because he's had many good starts in his rookie season, including the postseason. The one incredible start that everybody now is going to hang on to is the one that happened against the Red Sox in the elimination game in the first round of the playoffs. But look at Paul Skeens, what he's done since he's been in the big leagues. You're talking dominance at another level. Schlitzler is not that. He was primarily a five-inning pitcher in the regular season. I'm not trying to disparage him. I'm just giving you the facts of what is. Paul Skeens is undisputedly the best pitcher in the sport, and he's under control for 4 years. It's the most valuable commodity in baseball to get a high-end starting pitcher that's under team control, and they have it for 4 years. So to answer the question, Sam, and Rockland can determine what the disparity is. UBT, I could determine it. The Yankees could determine theirs. That's the biggest point. I don't think there's enough you could give to get a guy like that.
Okay, so I look at Skeens like, you know, he's, whether it's a modern-day Seaver or like that, like the Clemens, Pedro, like that's who he is. I look at Cam Schlitzler, and this is obviously extrapolating out because he hasn't pitched a ton yet. I look at his ceiling, his potential, as an absolute top, now maybe not a one, but a two minimally, on a team that has a chance to win the World Series when he fully matures. That's also, again, a deep extrapolation because he hasn't pitched a whole lot. Now, but I think what the caller was saying was, and this is why I would love more evidence, say if we, because I don't think the Pirates will trade Skeens this offseason either, and you don't, it's too early, right?
I really don't know, but
probably not yet.
I would guess not. I mean, if you're in a position where you got to trade a guy with 4 years of control who's your only draw.
Just become a double-A team. You're useless
fold,
at that
fold
point.
Fold-up shop.
Okay, so we're on the same page, but I don't think that they'll trade him now, but you never know. But let's say that they don't. And let's say that you get 32 starts, or say he misses a couple, 28 yeah. starts from Kent. You skip him, you save the innings thing, whatever. Navigate that stuff. 28 starts, and he's like he's electric, and he's filthy. He's still never going to be Skeens. Right. I don't think the caller was saying that, and I'm certainly not saying
right,
that.
But is it worth?
It could dictate what the rest of the package would have. Like if Skeens is a 10 and Schlitter becomes an 8.5 or a 9, would you then want to give up Lombard and Rice? That's his question, and that's a fair question.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what is there a better package from any team in baseball than a Schlitter, Lombard, Jones package. Forget Rice.
Yeah, I don't know there. Okay. Now, the Yankee system's not very highly thought of, okay, except
but
for Lombard.
But those are...
And Schlitler's already here.
Lombard, Schlitler, let's say Jones or Dominguez, and if you throw in Ben Rice...
I mean, that's a massive package,
okay.
Right?
It's now, it's going to take something like that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know the entire farm system. I don't know what the Pirates want. Maybe they have no interest in Ben Rice. Who the hell knows? But it's going to be whatever they believe is the best haul. So you better be coming correct.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Schlitler's a good starting point. For the Mets, McClain would be, okay, at least we got the young, controllable pitcher to replace Skeens.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need three or four other guys that are going to fill out the rest of the roster.
Yes, and the Yankees bought Fried, so they have him. Cole's coming back. Eventually, Schmidt will be back. So where the Mets would have to go and buy more. All right, let me flip this, though, because I think that this is... And it's unanswerable now because it's a massive projection with Schlitler, but he is interesting enough to, I think, probe more deeply into this just based on he does look a little different than some of these other kids mm-hmm. that have come up. All right, so let's say that the Pirates want, and I mean today, they want McClain.
Mm-hmm.
They want, let's go with Benj. They want the two other most desirable players, of them, whomever they are, Jet Williams and somebody else, right? Sproul, Tom, whomever they fancy. Now, you do it today, correct?
Yes.
Of course. So
wouldn't even think twice about it.
Me too. If I ran the Mets, I would do the same thing. But what if McClain goes out and has 28 starts this year and has a 2.97, even a 3.01, and he strikes out 190 batters in 172 innings? You see what I'm... And his K-rate is among the best in baseball, and his whip is low, and he doesn't walk per nine many... Would you still give up all that? It's at least a different point of inflection.
Understood. I probably would, but I understand why you would have a... If they did it for another whole year and pitched like a high-end pitcher, why would you trade everything to get just replace him with a mildly better high-end pitcher?
And I think that's what the caller was saying.
Yep. Al is in West Long Branch. What's up, Al?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I'm basically on that same... At the same level, I was thinking that Schlitler has already proven that he could take the bump in the Bronx and perform well. How many high pedigree pitchers have come into Yankee Stadium and have failed miserably or was not living up to the pedigree that they were showing in MLB?
Yeah,
so,
it's a long list.
So I'm just thinking that You know what you have. You don't know what's going to happen to the pedigree that comes in.
You don't know what you have. That's the whole point. You have no idea what Cam Schlitler is. He was great in the postseason. Put all of Schlitler's starts against what Paul Skeens has done, and it's not close. It's not even a fair fight.
He's older, but he's a year older than Skeens too. Cam Schlitler, yeah, he is.
Yeah, I just think that the Yankees know how to. Bring up from the farm league, they're not intimidated by taking the bump in the Bronx, whereas like some of the people that are on other teams are great on that team. They come to New York and it's like, what happened?
I know,
that's fair. It's generally more free agents though.
Skeens,
trades.
Skeens a different animal. There's he wants New York. I mean, Garrett Cole is another guy who grew up a Yankee fan. Wanted New York. How's he as a free agent? The wishy-washy guys are the tweeners. Those guys are Sonny Gray,
the Vasquezes,
Michael
Kevin
Pineda.
Browns.
Yeah, those guys, Pavano, they're chasing the money.
Pavano.
And then all of a sudden, they don't like the smoke.
That's right. They can't handle it. And by the way, Schlitler, he's not a free agent until 2032.
Right, so you have him under control.
I mean, that's
even
two more years than Skeens. Something else you want to think about.
Look, ideally, you'd like to not have to give Schlitler up. And if I'm the Pirates, I would say, well, I'm not I'm not trading Skeens to you unless you include Schlittler.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with the Mets. Yeah, ideally, you wouldn't want to give up Nolan McLain. But to get Paul Skeens,
I get it.
It's going to take, you know, the other side of it is, well, what happens if Cam Schlittler was a one-year wonder? Or Nolan McLain was an eight start or whatever it is.
I think about Lewis Hill. And then he's kind of leveled off a little bit.
Yeah. The value where Spencer Jones was 2 years ago versus where he was last year versus where he is now, it's changed dramatically in 3 years. Devi Garcia. All these guys. That's what I'm saying.
That's a name for you, huh?
Paul Skeens is a... Yeah. There are no question marks about it. You're getting a bona fide star.
It's a rock star.
Legit ace, rock star girlfriend, all those different things. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Three random questions. We come back.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On the Fan.
All right, BT, a little 3RQ, three random questions sponsored by the Rothenberg Law Firm. Injured? Visit injurylawyer.com. Number one, is it odd to have feelings for a plant or some non-living things?
I used to love plants, man. When I was single, I would always get like a spider plant, and I would take such good care of it. Feelings? Well, no. You know how I feel about my arborvitaes. I mean, I have a real connection to them because we planted them, and they were about 5 or 6 feet when we moved in, and I guess that was in 2019. And now they're like 25 feet high. So I feel the connection. I love watering them. No, I don't think it's that weird.
So I'm not a big plant person. Neither is my wife. But then people were sending her some plants. You know, when her brother got sick, unfortunately. And then we ended up with like three plants. And I keep saying, get these things out of the way. You got to keep them by the sun. And you got to water them all the time. They're by the door. So it's annoying me. We don't have a real spot to put it. And finally, she's just like, you know what? You could get rid of it. And I'm like, what do you mean? You're just going to throw the little plant out?
You don't want to get rid of it?
I started to feel bad. Now, eventually, I just took it and threw it in the garbage.
Yep. You didn't feel that bad then.
I did feel bad. And over the course of my life, and I'm not afraid to admit this on WFAN, I feel like stuffed animals, I sometimes feel like a connection to them. Especially, you know, you get the eyes, you're looking at them. I just feel, you know, a stuffed animal.
You mean like, you look at an animal's eyes and you feel like it's not no
animal.
Longer an inanimate object, it's a human?
I just don't
or
like,
an animal?
I don't like discarding them and throwing them out. I kind of have an odd feeling for them.
Okay, well, that shows a softness there. I mean, listen, I look at, like, my son still sleeps with a blanket. He's 10. He's had the same blanket for, like, 7 years, 8 years.
All right.
Same thing, he carries it with him when he comes down in the morning. Kins has bears and all sorts of things that I've gotten her and mommy's gotten her.
I know, but I'm 46.
No, that's true. But what I'm saying is, like, if they're sleeping and when I come in, you know, to pray with them or kiss them goodnight, if they fall asleep early, you know, I'll rub the bear or I'll talk to the bear or I'll kind of reposition the blankie. So I get what you mean on some level. It's a good thing.
All right, number two, what's your favorite soup?
Oh, Italian wedding. Mm. Ooh, that was an easy one. How about you? Italian wedding's phenomenal.
You make it?
No, I don't. But I get some really good, authentic ones in the neighborhood. A couple of good spots, yeah.
I think pea soup would be my favorite.
Pea soup is gross.
Oh, man.
What do you want, Brussels sprout soup next?
No. My mom used to make good pea soup. My mom's soup, I forget what she called it, but had, what the hell is a macaroni? Maybe a little ditalini, the meatballs, potato in there.
Uh-huh.
God, whatever that soup is, I love that too. But the pea soup growing up, and then I saw a sign for it the other day walking in the city at the juice press place that I go to. Oh, no. You're sleeping on a good pea soup.
I tried it. I don't like it.
And then I told my wife about it, and she actually made it, so I give her credit for trying it. It wasn't bad. Not my mom. But it wasn't bad.
All right, so let me ask you this.
I'm surprised you hate pea soup.
I don't like it. Is it like split pea with a little sliver of ham in there? Because sometimes the Italians put the ham in there.
I do without the ham, but I can do it with the ham. A little locatelli cheese on there.
I'm going to need the ham to get through the peas. Oh.
Wow.
All right, so let me ask you this. You go to a steakhouse or you go to a restaurant, you get a little pasta or a little meat. Are you ordering peas on the side? Like, do you actually like peas as vegetables?
But
I can't stand them.
Pea soup is different than peas.
No, it's not. It's just crunched up peas.
Yeah, but the texture's totally different.
But the taste is the same. I can't stand peas.
Hoff or Dove, you guys like pea soup? Let's see what we get
I'm fine with pea soup, but I'm more of a clam chowder type of guy.
Now you go with the New England or you
go with
New
England.
No, never in my life have I gotten that. Or the French onion. I'm out
that's
on
money.
That.
I'm with the French onion.
It's just not my thing, Dove. What do you like?
Pea soup is great. Croutons.
All right, a little croutons in it. Fair
bacon,
enough.
Bacon bits.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't need the bacon.
I don't think Dove could have the bacon.
All right. Tis the season for a good soup. I'm always up for it. Usually people have it when they're sick.
No, I get it. And by the way, speaking of tis the season, I just got a text from Jen. Guess what's going up right now?
Christmas
lights.
Oh,
today.
Wow.
Not too. You got to get them done. Otherwise, you're going to get left out.
Yeah,
you got to get them early, bro. You got to book this stuff.
I'll be left out. Last one. Kind of a food play here, but also tied in football. Where would you rank Sauce Gardner amongst other sauces?
Sauce Gardner amongst other sauces. He's dropped down the menu year by year, put it that way. At first, he was, pretty close to the top.
Would you go vodka sauce?
A la penny a la vodka. Okay. It's a good call. You have some others in your head, throw them at me because I'm not thinking about
it. Soy sauce.
Soy sauce?
With sushi, I do like that.
Buffalo sauce?
Worcester?
No.
I never heard of that.
No.
I don't know what that is.
I'll pass on that. I've had it. I don't like that.
It's like a soy sauce type of feel, I feel like.
A1 sauce for steak, a little bit, something like that.
Bolognese sauce.
Love bolognese. Bolognese.
That's what I'm saying. So,
at this point, he's in the discount rack. he's next to the ragu.
Does he make the top five, Sauce Gardner?
No, he does not.
Okay.
No way.
BT and Sal on the fan. That does it for 3RQ today. Let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Mike is calling from Old Bridge. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a diehard Mets fan. Look, I listened to David Stern speak yesterday. It almost felt like, you know, they'll look at the trade market possibly for a frontline starter. I mean, maybe we'd be fortunate if we get a Ranger Suarez. I don't think they're bringing Pete back. But when the question about possibly losing Diaz came up, you know, I looked at his face. It really concerned me because I obviously imagined with run prevention and the comments that he made after the season, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, that, okay, yeah, maybe he'd be okay with letting Pete go. And, you know, us fans, players sometimes, but I can understand that. But with the kind of bullpen that this team has and the pitching issues that this team has, if they don't bring back Diaz, Sal, as a fellow Mets fan, I would have to think this would feel like a transition year. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't
trust David. No such thing anymore.
Obviously, we have the best.
No such thing. And by the way, for the record, I saw a report on what Diaz would want. I forget who had it, although they credit them. It sounds like Diaz wants the same deal that he got last time. So obviously, we're 2 years. Are we 2 years removed from that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 years, I think, removed from that, right, because he got the deal before the 2023 season where he got hurt in the WBC.
Right.
So he wants basically the same thing, 5 years, $100 million, just 2 years later. I have a hard time giving that to him. Here's the bottom line, Mike. There's no such thing as a transition year with the New York Mets and Steve Cohen anymore. That's it. It's over.
Well, that's what I originally thought, Sal, because I do believe in Steve Cohen. But don't forget, last year, the Juan Soto signing, that was Steve Cohen. Bringing back Alonso at the last minute, that was Steve Cohen. David Stearns does not look like, in my opinion, I think he feels like maybe he can do here what he was doing in Milwaukee. This is not Milwaukee. This is the greatest city in the world, and this is the greatest sports city in the world, and we have the most passionate fan bases all across sports. So David Stearns really needs to wake up and have a really great offseason, or, you know, all that goodwill. And Sal, you were there too. You went to a lot of games this year, just like my family and I did as well. And, you know, we packed Citi Field, man, and I got to be honest with you. I don't know. I think because of the way the season ended, they're going to lose a lot of that good faith, that goodwill going into 26 if they don't have a great offseason.
I think the bad season, and thanks for the call, Mike, and I did not go to a ton of games. I went to a couple of games. I did not go to a lot of games. But I would recommend getting out there because it's such a great, you know, ballpark, all that stuff. It's always a fun atmosphere, especially when they're winning, which obviously they didn't do enough of this year. What I would say is I think last year's failures will hurt the attendance this year. But if they have a mega offseason and get two top starters, let's just say, and bring Pete and Diaz back, I think attendance will be fine as long as the team wins some ballgames.
Mets responded to their owner. Now the owner needs to respond to the season, which I think we all think that he will. I think what we're less sure about is the methodology here of Stearns and the direction that he's about to take. The one thing, it was a good call. I think he said a lot of good things. You know, I wouldn't read too much into body language or inflection from Stearns or quotes. I mean, you're not going to tip your hand. You know, he's going to present it in a very benign way, and really in a very emotionless way. Because the last thing you want to do is when you show up to these meetings, hey, what do you think about Pete? What do you think about Diaz? Oh, my God, we can't lose them. Good God, there's no way. You just got to present this in a very, hey, it's business, and we want him back, which is what he said, if the market dictates, and he just kind of threw out that babble.
The one thing that I would say, though, when you talk about David Stearns, it's still early on. We referenced this as far as football, and how long do you think it would take to evaluate a general manager, and it was 3-4 years, pretty much the consensus. Well, with David Stearns, we're going into year three, and remember, he took over a team that already had big contracts handed out all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Would he have given Brandon Nimmo the contract that he got? Would he have given Diaz the contract that he got the first time? Would he have signed Lindor for the 300 and whatever million, 13 million, whatever it was that Lindor got? I don't know. Soto's a different animal because of his age. That's what made that so unique and why the price went up, 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 up. Maybe he wouldn't have wanted that, but you need to have some kind of star pieces.
Uh-huh.
Now he's also caught in between with Alonso. Maybe he would have either locked Alonso up or would have moved on from him, you know, years ago. You just don't know. So it's still year three, and he inherited a core group of players that is still intact.
It's a good point. I mean, we really don't incorporate that very often. We're sitting here saying, change this, change that, do this, do that. Well, you know, it's not as easy when you got guys like Nimmo. What's Nimmo got, 5 years left? 6 years? And he's still got a lot of years to go. You know, yeah, he did assume a pretty decent payroll without a great deal of flexibility. And let's face it, some very flawed pieces. I mean, outside of Lindor when he first got here, and I know Lindor's defense slipped a year ago, and he's not a perfect player. He's too streaky for me, but he's obviously very good. But he's still streaky. He didn't inherit anybody that is like, okay, this guy's autopilot. You know, he's young or in his prime, good contract, good wheels, good defense, potent bat. Everybody that he got had their pluses for sure, but were a little deficient in areas that I think he values based on him always talking about run prevention.
Correct. So it's just not his team. We're seeing David Stern. Now, you could get on him for last year's team with the starting pitching, certainly.
Definitely.
But think about where they came from, and in 2 years, what he's trying to do this ball club. And now year three, this will, I don't want to say make or break year, but I think we're going to learn a lot more about Stearns this year. It's why I was asking them, I said this in season last year, the idea of trading Nimmo, even when they were playing well. I talked about it in season at the deadline. I thought that they were going to clean up that mess of Beatty, Vientos, McNeil, Acuna, all the Mauricio. They need to clean it up. It doesn't fit well as a team right now. So on top of adding some free agents for sure, they also need to figure out what they have, what they want to keep, and what they want to move on from. And it takes time to do that for a general manager through the first couple of years, especially when you have as many contracts on the books that the Mets have.
And I think it's really amplified for him because I think everybody's sitting there saying, well, you got Cohen. What's the problem? What's the holdup here? Do this again. Do that. Do this. Wake up. Let's go. Let's move mountains where, you know, he's looking at this in a more prudent manner, which I get. Now, there's got to be middle of the road. I mean, and he's going to have to change a little bit than how he was in Milwaukee. The other thing, too, is, you know, guys, I mean, the Mets last year, and I wouldn't have said this the year before, but because he took a step back, and I'm not saying that this is who he is, but he's got to now show that this is not the wrong trend. Lindor was not a very good defensive player last year based on the metrics for him. He was great, and then he had a rough year. The Mets trotted out one-plus defender every night, and that was Taylor, who hit about .180. You know, so, and, you know, the other guy, Siri, who's a plus defender, who also got hurt, was also about .180 with more power. The point is, Mets got a lot of work to do, and I think we all think that they'll do it, but I don't think it's as easy as some people think it might be.
We'll continue the conversation when we come back. BT and Sal on the Fan.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.